Good evening. So tonight, we shall be talking about choices. Choices. Now, the choices we make are very important. Can sometimes determine our victory and our future. Now, one wrong choice can ruin your life. But a right choice can bless you abundantly. Now, let me ask you this. What's the first choice mentioned in the Bible? Wow, yous are worse than my Sunday morning class. Hey?
To offer an unacceptable sacrifice to God.
To offer an unacceptable sacrifice to God. Do we all agree with Adam? Or does anyone have anything else? I really do feel like I'm in my Sunday morning class now. Okay. Wow. Okay. So choice begins even before that. Because choice begins with God. The first chapter of Genesis gives us an insight into a variety of choices. In the beginning, God what? Oh my goodness. What? Created. There we go. Goodness sake, man. In the beginning, God created. Now, God created the universe in 6 days. Why did he take 6 days? Why not just in a moment? Why not in 2 days? It was God's choice to create. And it was God's choice to create in 6 days. You know, choice is something that God had right from the start. Like, God chose to keep the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. He could have kept it somewhere in the corner so that Adam and Eve hardly noticed it. But he put it right in the center. So there was no way of missing it. You see, God's choice is not influenced by anyone. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13 it says, "Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? He is all powerful and has all wisdom. He created the whole earth from nothing." You see, as human beings, we only have the power to recreate. This means that we need some basic raw materials to create anything. But not so with God. He can create anything out of nothing. And brethren, God passed on the gift of choice to mankind. Imagine we didn't have the power to choose. We'd all be like robots. With no freedom of choice, we'd all be controlled by someone. Now, this gift of choice is extremely important to us. Do you know how many choices you make every day on average? Take a guess.
Thousands.
Any other guesses? 142. You've read my notes, haven't you? You haven't, you're right, because they're not on here. On average, we make 5,000 choices every day. From choosing when to get up, from choosing whether to snooze the alarm or not and be late for work, from choosing how long to brush our teeth for, from choosing what tie to wear, what dress to wear, from choosing what we'll eat, what we'll drink. We make choices consciously and subconsciously every single day. Do you know at what point in your life you make the most important choices? It's thrown out to you again. What do you think?
Baptism.
What age range?
Baptism.
Baptism? What age range? What do you think? On average, what age range do you make the most difficult choices in your life? Most difficult choices in your life.
15 to 25.
15 to 25. I've got 18 to 30. 18 to 30, we make the most important choices because they determine our future. Yeah? Around this age, we decide our jobs, our career, our life partner, our education. And some of these choices can never be reversed. Now, going back to Genesis 1, who made the first wrong choice?
Eve? What did Eve do? Disobeyed God. Disobedience right from the start, the first wrong choice. Now, why did Eve make this choice? Why did we as human beings make this choice to disobey God? Simply because God has given us choice. It means that when God gives us choice, he automatically gives us the power to choose good or evil, right or wrong. And we find this choice in the book of Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 when Joshua says, "This day I will call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." And unfortunately, because of the choices that were made in the Garden of Eden, all of us have become fallen beings. But still, God didn't take away the gift of choice. Just because Adam and Eve didn't make the right choice, still today you and I have the gift of choice. We're not robots or puppets under God's hands. Rather, he gives us complete freedom. Even as young people, God doesn't control us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, it really feels like my Sunday morning class, doesn't it, boys? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 9. And it says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth." Why? You see, youth is a gift from God. Youth is a period that everybody looks forward to. When you're a child, you can't wait to be a teenager, a young adult. And then when you're past that, you look back in those days, don't you? Don't you, Nicola? During our youth, emotions are high. We're constantly wanting to learn new things, go on adventurous trips, expose ourselves to new things. It's one of the most beautiful periods in our lives. But verse 9 continues to say, "Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see." Again, God gives us choice here. Whatever our heart desires, we should do just that. Whatever our eyes want to see, we should be able to see. No conditions at all. You don't need to listen to anyone. Do what your heart wants to do. Do what your eyes want to see. What your eyes want to see. Not what someone else tells you to do. Here is where you operate the gift of choice. Brethren, we need to choose what our eyes are going to see. We need to choose whether to give our heart what it desires. We need to be careful in the choices that we make, because even small choices have their own consequences. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God didn't take away the gift of choice, but still there was a consequence. Consequences hadn't happened in two types. A physical one. There was punishment, like men had to sweat and work. Women had to bear children in pain and so much more. But there was also the spiritual one, where Adam and Eve brought death upon mankind and they were chased out of the Garden of Eden. And it took the second Adam, Christ, to reverse the consequences. And when you accept Christ, your position is restored. He took our sins and gave us righteousness. He took our shame and gave his glory. He took the curses and gave his blessings. He took away death and gave his life. A divine exchange took place on the cross. That is why we must remember the choices that we make have great significance. Continuing on Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 9. It's not over. Because you know what? When it says, enjoy walking the ways of your heart and in the desire of your eyes, That's what the world's offering you. That's what the world's telling you to do. YOLO. You only live once. Live life to the fullest. Take advantage. You're young. This is what the world is throwing at you every single day. But then, so's the scriptures. But here's the difference in the last part. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. That's the difference. See, Paul echoes this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says, you say I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. You see, when you're becoming a slave to anything other than Christ, you're in danger. Because the consequences will be terrible. So let's meditate on the important choices that we must make in our life. Choose to make Jesus a priority in your life. You're not to follow Jesus like someone in the crowd, but with a sincere heart as his disciple. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 28, it says, large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus was essentially telling them, you see, it's easy to follow the crowd because there's no commitment involved. You can walk in at any time, walk out at any time, and no one will question you because you would be barely noticed. There's thousands of people there. And so many people prefer to be in the crowd. It's the easy way out. See, there's an interesting illustration that I've seen and I read about it. And it was this. Years ago, a psychologist did an experiment with teenagers designed to show how people respond to peer pressure. So he brought a group of 10, groups of 10 teens into a room. And each group of 10 was instructed to raise their hands when the teacher pointed to the longest line on a series of different charts. What one person in the group didn't know was that nine of the others in the room had been instructed ahead of time to vote for the second longest line. Regardless of the instruction they had heard, once they were all together in the group, the nine were to vote for the second longest line. But the teacher would ask, what's the longest? And you know what they found out? They found out that when 9 teens voted together, the 10th would, more than 75% of the time, look around and slip their hand up with the group. More than 75% of the time. So the psychologist concluded from that study that most people would rather fit in than be right. Brethren, is that us? And the choices we make every single day, is that us? You see, as Christians, we're not called to fit in, but to stand out. So when Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, he's asking us to prioritise God over and above everything else in our life. God wants him to be the focus at all times. He means that our allegiance and our love for him must be so great that by comparison, our love for our families and even our own life looks like hatred. Our choice to follow Jesus with all our heart is the first best decision that we can ever make. He should be my delight. His words must be delight. When people stand with God at a young age, the favour of God will always be upon their lives. We read the example of Daniel and his friends. When they were taken captive in Babylon, their names were changed, their languages were changed, attempts were made to change their food patterns as well. But Daniel and his friends did not compromise in any way and stood for God. They made sure that God was their priority at all times. And we can see God's hand of favour all throughout their lives. Now continue on Ecclesiastes. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Once a fig tree was growing in the olive groves, and the fig tree began to say, 'I am an olive tree because I am growing olive groves.' Is it possible? Will a fig tree ever taste like an olive? In the same way, being born in a Christian home or having Christian parents does not make you a Christian. You need to have a personal relationship with Christ. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Have you struggled to make any choices? All of us have, right? At some point. Or maybe some of us are struggling with a choice right now. How can we make the right choice? We don't know what will happen if we make this choice. What will happen in 5 years? We don't know how do we know that we're making the right choice? Brethren, if you want to make the right choice for your future, you need to consult the only one who knows your future. God. Because your wisdom can cheat you. Your circumstances can cheat you. But God will never fail you. God never fails, eh, Maureen? God never fails. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines." Now, during famine, the ideal thing that people would do is that they would go to the neighbouring land where there was no famine. And that's what Abraham did, and that's what Isaac was tempted to do. But God said something different to Isaac. Because in chapter 26, verses 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you.'" Now, when God said that to Isaac, it wouldn't have made any sense. It's not logical to live in this land where there's a famine. Because Isaac's wisdom and past experience would have asked him to go to Egypt. But God said no. Now, Isaac had a choice to make. And a very important choice that would determine his future. Either listen to God or listen to what his mind says. He can go to Egypt and try to make his future there, or listen to God and stay where he is, or go where he was told to go. In the end, Isaac made the right choice. Listen to God. Now, at the time, he didn't know if that was the best decision, but he trusted God. Listen to God. And you knew that listening to God is the best decision he can ever take. And in verse 6 it says that Isaac stayed. What happened when Isaac stayed? He was immensely blessed. Verses 12 and 14 says, "Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him." That's really interesting. Isaac planted crops in that land that no one else would have planted crops during a famine. And in those days, they didn't have advanced technology like we do now. But Isaac planted his faith not in his circumstances, but in God. In the same year, he reaped not twofold, not tenfold, but 100-fold. And what was the reason? Not his knowledge in farming, not because the climate was favourable, but because he listened to God and he was blessed for it. He became so rich that the days rolled by and others envied him. Brethren, choice is something that begins with God. And God has passed on the gift of choice to mankind. And the choices that we make every day in our life determines our future. So let's make the right ones. God bless.
Thank you for that lesson, Edwin. Before the closing prayer, turn your hymn books to 869, 869. And since I have a choice, let's stand up while we sing the song and remain standing for the closing prayer. 869.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the crown and throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak your joys abroad.
Thank you so much, Edwin, for this wonderful lesson. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God and Almighty, we are so blessed with the youth here, the blessings that you have given them, the sense that they can stand before the congregation and you speak through them. We thank you and we bless your holy name for giving us these fine gentlemen who can also tell us what you have given them. Tonight, we know that the choices we make definitely affect us, whether good or bad. And through Edwin, you have rekindled our mind to be careful with the choices that we make, especially the youth of our generation. And we thank you for the youth in this congregation. And we pray that this lesson will sink well with us. so that any choice that we make, we always consult your wisdom and make a good choice because of future repercussions. And we thank you so much for this message. Father, we are living here, but we are not leaving your presence. As we go out there, guide us with the choice that we make so that we do not regret. We thank you so much for listening to our humble prayer. In your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Let's remember those who are on the prayer list. The announcements are on the WhatsApp, so you'll be able to check that out. So we mentioned on the announcements that Wine is still in the Philippines. She is back.